Now you'll find my text tonight in Psalm 24 and verse 8. Psalm 24 and verse 8. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Dear congregation, in the Psalms, we are presented with the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said to his disciples in the evening following his resurrection, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." He made it abundantly plain to his disciples that in the Psalms there were those things concerning him, his life, his ministry, his work. And so we should not be surprised to discover Christ in the Psalms. In view of what Christ has said, we look for him in the Psalms, and that is a right and proper thing to do. We see his life and ministry here in this precious book. In Psalm 8, which we sung to begin with tonight, we consider his incarnation. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Then also in Psalm 22 and Psalm 40, to name but a few psalms, we are presented with his incarnation. In Psalm 40, we are particularly presented with his ministry here upon earth. In Psalm 146, we consider his miraculous work in healing certain ones. You remember, he went about doing good. Well, we see that in Psalm 146. And then in many of the Psalms, including Psalm 18, Psalm 22, Psalm 40, Psalm 69, Psalm 88, we consider his sufferings. What he suffered. How he was so full of troubles, how he knew great heaviness within, how he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So we consider his sufferings and his death. Following on, we consider his resurrection, Psalm 18, Psalm 16, Psalm 40, Psalm 116, and so on. The Psalms show us in an amazing way the life and ministry of Christ. Now, when we come to these particular psalms around Psalm 24, we again see through these psalms the Lord Jesus Christ, his life and ministry. Now, in Psalm 21, we are led to consider Jesus the King who wears the crown of purest gold. Psalm 21, verse 3, "For thou preventest him, or went on before, with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head." He's the one that wears the crown. And just notice his resurrection in verse 4. "He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him. He rose from the dead, even length of days forever and ever." We're not thinking of David there, we can't. We're thinking of Christ particularly. He's the King who rose victoriously. So Psalm 21, we're led to consider King Jesus. In Psalm 22, we behold the suffering servant. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then we come to Psalm 23. He is the shepherd who leads his people through every difficult experience and other experiences as well until they are brought safely home to heaven. And so we who love the Lord can say, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah, Jesus, our shepherd. He's ours and he's with us. He's ever with us in every valley, in the last valley, and he will bring us home to heaven. So in Psalm 23, we consider Jesus the shepherd who brings his people safe home to heaven. Following on, Psalm 24, we see Jesus who has gone on before as the forerunner. He's gone before his people to heaven at his ascension, having accomplished redemption. We think of the one who ascends. We think particularly of the Lord, but then of his people who will follow There's a progression here in these particular psalms, where he is the King of glory. Verse 7, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. We'll see in a moment. He's the Lord of glory. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 8, who has gone into heaven for us, dear brethren, the wonderful King. And so in Psalm 23, we see the shepherd leads his people to heaven, and the people there have an expectation of heaven. And in Psalm 24, we see the King entering heaven who's gone on before. Take comfort, dear brethren, in these Psalms. You see your Saviour who lived for you, who died for you, who rose for you, who leads you through life, who has gone into heaven for you and is waiting there for you. Now let's come now particularly to Psalm 24. Many believe that this psalm was penned when either David brought up the Ark of God to the city of David, his city, in 2 Samuel 6, or afterwards in view of the temple that would be built. And David is thinking of that time when the Ark would be brought into the temple. So either when it was brought up to the city of David, 2 Samuel 6, or David has in view the time when it will be brought into the temple. The ark was received in, and the Lord was known in that place. Now when we think of the ark, and particularly the mercy seat above it, we're led to consider the presence of the Lord. Exodus 25 and verse 22. So when we think of the ark, we're led to consider the Lord. The presence of the God of glory, Acts 7, verse 2, would be known. And so, if it's in that tabernacle which David pitched there in the city, in view of 2 Samuel 6, the Lord was known in that place. And then, in view of the temple, if David particularly is thinking of that, when it would be built afterwards, oh, the God of glory, the King of glory, would be known. So, we believe that this psalm was penned when the ark was either going up to the city or in view of it going into the temple. And the Lord of glory, the King of glory, would be known in that place. Well, we think further of Jesus. And remember, the ark is a type of him. And that he's gone in to the sanctuary above. The King of glory is known in that place. And all the psalms here, we are led to consider Christ. And so we're thinking of Christ here, who is the King of glory, or the Lord of glory, in the light of the New Testament. And he's gone into a place. He's gone into the sanctuary above. But also he comes into the palaces. And the Lord is known in the midst of his people. We think of the ark. Into the place it went. Think of Christ who has entered heaven, the sanctuary above, Psalm 102, verse 19. Spurgeon wrote, the eye of the psalmist looked, however, beyond the typical upgoing of the ark to the sublime ascension of the King of glory. We will call it the song of the ascension. We think of the ark going up, but we're led further to consider Christ who went up and entered the sanctuary above. With this in mind, we come to verse 8. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. What words were sung at the ascension of Christ? Well, as we consider King Jesus tonight, if you recall, we're looking at this series on the names and titles of Christ. We come to consider King Jesus, who is the King of glory. I'd like us to think first of all of the King of glory. Secondly, the mighty and victorious King. Thirdly, the King's ascension. Fourthly, the King in heaven. For what do we read in verse 8? Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. As the ark was known in the tabernacle, that David pitched, and then later in the temple, the sanctuary, so the King of glory is known in heaven above. So the King in heaven. Well, first of all tonight then, the King of glory. We see Jesus in the Psalms. We don't need to question this because Christ made that plain to his disciples in Luke 24. And so here we are presented with the King of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. From the beginning of the ark and the mercy seat, it pointed to Christ. The presence of God was known where the ark was and the mercy seat. Think of Christ. We come to the throne of grace and there's mercy. We go to Christ. Oh, he is the King of glory. Who is this King of glory? Now, it's interesting in the New Testament, when Jesus made his public entry into Jerusalem, a question was put forth. Matthew 21, verse 10. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Who is this? And we're told in verse 11, the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Who is this? That's the question. This is Jesus. Well, when we come to verse 8, who is this? King of glory. We can safely say in view of Jesus in Luke 24, it is Jesus of Nazareth, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. It's confirmed it's the Lord, isn't it? Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. Not thinking of David, no. We're thinking of the Lord who has ascended, gone up to the sanctuary. The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And those words, strong and mighty, help us to identify further that it is Christ. For he is the Almighty God. The Lord, the King of glory. Now, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 8, we read, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. There Paul makes plain, he's the Lord of glory. And then James makes this plain also. James 2 verse 1, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. And you see there in the New Testament, Jesus is the Lord of glory. Well, we know him to be the King. He's the King of glory. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, the mighty one, who, as Spurgeon has said, has come fresh from the battle. Who is this King of glory? This is Jesus of Nazareth. He's the mighty one. Remember those words, Isaiah 9 verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's God. In Acts 7, we think of the God of glory. Here's God the Son, then, the King of glory, the Mighty God. And it had to be God the Son, because he had a battle to face, as we shall see in a moment. And he needed support in that battle. Well, he's the King. We've already considered him in these Psalms. Go back to Psalm 21. He wears a crown of pure gold. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And there we see him asking the Father for life. And the Father gave him life. We think of the King there. We think of the sufferings of the servant king in Psalm 22. And now we think of the King. His sufferings are past, and he's ascending into glory. He's the King. Who is this King of glory? Let's just think for a few moments about King Jesus. He was ordained, designated, appointed to the office of King in eternity. Proverbs 8 verse 23. He exercised a kingly office immediately after the fall, as we see in Genesis 3, verse 15. He was publicly proclaimed king here upon earth. Remember at his birth, the wise men, Matthew 2, verse 2, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him, the King of the Jews. He was publicly proclaimed king at his death. John 19, verse 19, and Pilate wrote a temp title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. He was publicly proclaimed king. He was solemnly installed at his ascension. He is the King. He's coming to heaven, and he's going to enter heaven, and he's going to be solemnly installed. Hebrews 1 verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He sits down, he's solemnly installed. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. We consider him installed on the throne, and every knee should bow. Some of you may be able to remember the coronation of Queen Elizabeth II, 1953. What a day, what pomp and ceremony, what splendor, what majesty, what singing. But oh, consider what it was like in heaven when the King was solemnly installed. Oh, what a sight it was. And oh, what a sight there is in heaven. Just think of heaven at this moment. Oh, what a sight in heaven. There is the King of glory in heaven. In a moment we'll consider the glory, such a glorious King. And what a prospect, dear brethren, as we shall see in a moment. He's the forerunner. He's gone on before. One day you're going to follow him and you'll see the King of glory. The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my King of grace. And there one day we'll be looking at him who is the King of glory. He's the forerunner. He's gone before. He has paved the way. We will follow him, and one day we will see him. He who wears the crown of purest gold. He's the King of kings. That's what that's speaking of in Psalm 21. He's higher than others. And one day, dear brethren, you will see him. He is the King, and he's reigning at this very moment in heaven. We look out on the nation. What's happened to our nation? And one can become quite down as we look at the nation and the church in this nation, the compromise that is taking place. But look up. At this very moment is the King reigning in glory, and he's looking on us. And his heart is towards us. And he so loves us. He's on the throne. Well, as we consider him there, have you bowed your knee? He's the King of glory, such a glorious King. He's the victorious one. Have you bowed your knee? Many Jews and Gentiles have not. What about you? Has he subdued you? Has he humbled you? Has he convicted you of your sin and brought you to his feet? Has he caused you to yield? But then as he lifted up your head, all is well. Has he melted your heart by his love? Are you found at his feet? He's the King. Are you a royal subject at the feet of the King tonight? And are you seeking in your lives to submit to him in all things? Now, he's referred to here as the King of glory. Now, the Hebrew word, kobold, speaks of weight, splendor, honor. He's honorable. He's so glorious. It's King Jesus, isn't it? Because there's none like him. He's altogether lovely. He's clothed with majesty. He's the glorious one. The glorious Redeemer. He's the King of glory. Consider firstly here his divine excellencies. John 1 verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as the only begotten of the Father. We beheld it. There were some breaking forth some glimpses, and those disciples beheld his glory. It's Jesus here, the King of glory. Then closely following on, as the Son, he is the brightness of his Father's glory, the express image of his person. Hebrews 1 verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And then think thirdly of what he is like as Redeemer. He's so strong. We're going to see this in a moment. He's so kind. He's so loving, so gracious. He's the glorious King, the King of glory, such a glorious King. And then fourthly, consider the glory manifested in his exaltation. Hebrews 2 verse 9. We said earlier, we see the incarnation of Christ in Psalm 8. The apostle makes that plain here in Hebrews 2 verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Crowned with glory and honor. That's a reference then that he is the King of glory. He's crowned with glory and honor. Who is this? It's the one, it's the King, crowned with glory and honor. We see Jesus. He is the King of glory. He is the exalted King. He is the triumphant King that entered heaven. Have you bowed your knee in faith? Well, he entered heaven at his ascension. Has he entered your heart? Is the King of glory reigning in your heart? We think of him who entered heaven. The Apostle Paul could say that Christ liveth in me. Is the King of glory in your life? We think of him particularly tonight. He's in heaven. Is he in your life? And are you seeking to submit to him in all things? You know, the marriage of Cana, whatsoever he saith, do it. Are you seeking to do it? He's your King. You have an eye to him. He's the King of glory. You look up to heaven because you think of him there, but you know he's also in your heart. The doors of your heart were opened through the grace of God, as it was for Lydia, and the King has entered your heart. And he reigns within, the King of glory. Have you met the Queen? Some of you may have. I haven't met the Queen. What a blessing to know the King in an intimate way. And to dine with the King, King rather. Last year I had tea at Buckingham Palace outside the gates on some steps. That's as near as I got. But what a blessing to often have this dining time with the King of Kings. And then he comes, the King of glory comes, and he knocks at the door of the heart because he wants to die. Oh, think here of the King of glory. Well, secondly tonight, and we must move on more briefly now, the mighty and victorious King. The mighty and the victorious King. Who is this King of glory? Who is it? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. He must be mighty. Jesus must be God. For he had a great work to accomplish, in which he would face a great battle. He's the mighty one. The almighty God. For unto us a child is born. We think there that he came into this world to accomplish redemption, to save sinners. When doing so, he had a battle. And he was able to face that battle because he was the Almighty God. Well, he had a battle with sin, death, and Satan. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. The question goes forth. And they consider the King. He's the one mighty in battle. He's been through a battle. And it was a battle with sin, death, and Satan. Think of sin. Sin is an enemy. Sin is no friend to you. If you're without Christ, you may enjoy, like Moses, the pleasures of sin. But let me tell you, sin is no friend. Sin is an enemy. But the spotless king had a battle with the enemy, sin. But Jesus was strong and was victorious. He was tempted, but he did not yield. How often we have yielded to temptation and we sinned. Our Lord was tempted, but he did not yield. What do we read here? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. He faced a battle with sin. There was temptation around. Remember Satan, he sought to tempt the Lord. He did not yield. He was the mighty one. He did not sin. He kept the law perfectly. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in the battle. Temptations kept coming his way. He kept the law perfectly. But then consider further, he faced the punishment for sin. Here upon earth, we consider his sufferings and death. And as you think of death, death is an enemy. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 28. What pain he encountered as he battled on in the struggle facing death. What pain he endured in order to bring about pardon. There were the blows upon him, but he did not leave the ground. He endured the cross. He faced the battle in full. He faced hellish sufferings as he battled on to make satisfaction for sin. Who is this King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle? He faced the battle, but he did not walk away. He kept his ground. When he felt the wrath of God so upon him, he endured. He endured the cross. He stayed under it. He did not walk away from the cross. He battled on. He faced the blows. He faced the punishment for sin. But then think further. He faced a battle with Satan. What a battle. You think of when our Lord was tempted. He used the sword of the Spirit. Consider Jesus, the mighty one, victorious in battle as he was tempted by Satan. It is written, he wielded the sword. But then think of that bruising attack in the Garden of Gethsemane. When his soul was so sorrowful unto death. Satan so come. Such a bruising attack. But he was victorious. There was a battle with Satan. Remember, Satan tempted Eve to sin. And he has had so many under his tyranny. But he cannot stop the Lord saving. In Genesis 3 verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. There was the bruising attack, but consider Christ. He bruised the head of Satan. Jesus held his ground and defeated him through his death on the cross. Hebrews 2 verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He rendered him useless. Satan cannot stop the Lord saving. There are many under the tyranny of Satan in this nation. But when the Lord draws near to save, Satan cannot stop. Because he was defeated by Christ. Our Lord faced a battle with Satan. And he came forth victoriously. Well, he faced a great battle. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. And think here, the king's coming home. The battle is past. He's the victorious one. He rose victoriously. Think of the mighty one today who rose victoriously, Acts 2 verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Just those words, it was not possible. And dear brethren, are we not thankful for those few words? It was not possible. He did it all. He was victorious. You are on your way to heaven. Think of the great battle he faced. He came forth, he was the mighty one, and he came forth victorious. He was mighty. In Psalm 89, verse 19, down now, then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. And the help we needed was laid on Christ, the mighty one, and he came and he fought the battle, that you might be helped, you might be delivered. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. The King, the mighty one, is coming home. Spurgeon, we know the might of Jesus by the battles which he has fought, the victories which he has won over sin, death and hell. And we clap our hands as we see him leading captivity captive in the majesty of his strength. Oh, for a heart to sing his praises. Mighty hero, be thou crowned forever, King of kings and Lord of lords. And as he's entering heaven, they're rejoicing in the King who has done it all, who has fought the battle. They're thinking of him and the redemption he accomplished. Thirdly, the King's ascension. The King's ascension. Who is this? The King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Now remember again, when we believe this psalm was penned, either in view of David when he brought the ark to the city, or in view afterwards, David is thinking of when the ark would be brought into the temple, the sanctuary. The ark spoke of the presence of God. God would be known in that place. The King of glory. And we think here, the King of glory going up. The ark went up. So Christ has gone up. Thou hast ascended. Psalm 68. We think of the King's ascension. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Think of the temple, the gates, the doors. Receive the ark, receive the Lord. Think of heaven, receive the Lord, the King. Here is Jesus going into heaven. From the Mount of Olives, a certain part belonging to Bethany, when we bring it all together, he ascended up into heaven. In 1 Peter 3, verse 33, we read, who is gone into heaven. He did not face death at his ascension. No, he was taken up. The disciples, they saw his departing. Acts 1, verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. He was speaking, and they saw him. They were comforted by the blessing he pronounced upon them. And then he was taken up and received into a cloud. They couldn't see him anymore. But then he came nearer to heaven. And all there was such singing. Who is this King of glory? Here goes the question. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Remember the disciples, they're looking up into heaven. They couldn't see beyond the clouds. They couldn't see into heaven, but they're looking up. But all what was taking place, which was beyond their view. Such rejoicing. The King was coming home. The King approaches heaven. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. Just think of it. We can't go too much into this, but we're led to consider here, Christ is getting near to heaven. What a mystery for us. But one day we'll discover it more in heaven. He's getting near to heaven. And they're about to receive him. The disciples, they can't see this, but we see it here in the psalm. And heaven receives its King. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. What singing there was when Jesus entered heaven. Millions upon millions of angels were singing. So many of the Lord's people there were singing. Such wonderful singing, glorious singing for the glorious King. You know, you may go and hear a choir sing. It was my privilege to do so in London back in December. Wonderful choir singing. They were all together. You know, I get embarrassed when I sing a wrong word, particularly in the pulpit, because you know I have. You may sing a wrong word in the pew, but it's more embarrassing to sing a wrong word in the pulpit. But oh, think of a choir singing, so harmonious. What singing took place when Jesus entered heaven. Amazing singing. Praises for the King. The disciples couldn't hear it. But oh, what was heard in heaven as the King of Glory. And as Jesus came in, they were so focusing upon what he had done. How do we know that? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Heaven was rejoicing in the victories that the King had wrought. Heaven was rejoicing that redemption was accomplished. Heaven was rejoicing that the grave could no longer keep him. Oh, what singing. So many were singing. And dear brethren, one day we'll be singing alongside the billions and the billions in heaven. We think ourselves in a small congregation. Well, local congregations can be small. But when we think of the Church of Jesus Christ, so vast, those upon earth and those in heaven, and one day we'll be there in heaven singing with that great multitude and with the angels. And we will hear that singing. Well, he ascended. He's gone on before. He's the forerunner. In Hebrews 6 verse 20 we read these words. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The forerunner. Think of the King of Glory. He's the forerunner. And he's entered. How do we know it? And the King of Glory shall come in. The forerunner entered heaven. A runner ahead. He ascended up into heaven. Christ is gone on before into heaven. And through his obedience, he has paved the way for us, dear brethren. If you're about Christ, you turn to him. Consider what he did here upon earth. And if you believe in him, you can rest as well that he has paved the way for you. For he is the forerunner. He's in heaven now, having accomplished redemption, having satisfied divine justice. He went up. Thou hast ascended. He's there. He's gone on before. Death could not keep him. He rose victoriously. And after 40 days, he was taken up into heaven. Oh, look to him who ascended into heaven. And that's exactly what we're taught in Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Why? Because he was the mighty King, the mighty God. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand at the throne of God. Look to him. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Think of him who's gone to heaven and take comfort. He endured great difficulty. The difficulties you endure will one day be over, for you will follow him. He passed through a veil of suffering, but where is he now? He's in heaven. You will get through the veils of sorrow. You will get there because your King of Glory ascended to that place. He paved a way for you. Just notice verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Well, it's those who are covered by the righteousness of Christ. He's gone before. He's there. So you will go there, dear child of God. Who shall ascend? Well, it's the King of Glory in the first place. And all his followers. Think of his ascension. Are you going to be taken up one day? Yes, we're going to face death. But is your soul going to be taken up to glory? He's paved the way. The believer will follow Jesus to heaven. I sat reading to a dying lady this afternoon. I was asked to go and visit her Friday afternoon before I went to Birmingham. And I said, I go back to her on the Lord's Day after that little time of outreach. And I went in there, and she has deteriorated much since Friday. I read to her the scriptures and quietly told her the gospel. And in doing so, I said to her, if you believe, if you repent of your sins, you will go to heaven. She's on the verge of eternity, or she may have already crossed. When your time comes, will you be following Jesus to heaven? Let me ask you that. Will you be following Jesus to heaven? He went up into heaven. We've got to face death, but will you be following him? Will you follow Jesus to heaven? That's my great concern. My great concern is not an eloquent sermon, but it's about you. Will you be following Jesus to heaven? He ascended there. Will you go? Well, fourthly and finally, the King in heaven. The King in heaven, let's just read from verse 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. The King's ascending, he's getting near. Oh, I can't wait to discover more of that when I talk to Jesus in heaven. What it was like when he got near to heaven, as he approached heaven. But note, he came in. Verse 9, lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. He came in. He went through the entrance of heaven. He was greeted, and he sat down. He was solemnly installed, and there he is tonight. As we draw to a close, I want you just to think of the King. He's there tonight. In heaven. Heaven is a real place. Hell is a real place. What miseries are known in hell? I trust no one here will know those miseries. If you're not a Christian, go to the King tonight. He will receive. But then think of heaven. It's a real place. And he's there. He really is there. What a wonderful thought. He's there tonight. We look out at this nation, what's happening? We can become quite downcast. Look to the King. He's on the throne. And therefore we can be in expectation of a day of blessing for us here, because the King is on the throne. But as we draw to a close and think of the King of glory in heaven, just a number of things. Firstly, as we think of the King in heaven, he is there receiving the praise. What singing it was at his ascension. What singing there is in heaven tonight. We can't hear the singing in heaven. But one day, dear child of God, you're going to hear it. And you're going to be so amazed at the singing. What praise is being offered tonight? Revelation 5 verse 12 saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. In heaven they're just giving him the praise. They're ascribing such power to him. He's the King, the Mighty One, as we see here. And they're ascribing the might and the power to him. Worthy is the Lamb. Heaven is taken up with Christ. As Christ has entered our hearts, oh, that we would be taken up more with Christ and praising him. The King lives in your hearts. Oh, to know more praise in your hearts for the King. But consider heaven. He's receiving the praise tonight. Are you joining him? Like me, you do not have to be a good singer. He accepts singing that isn't harmonious. He accepts singing from the heart. Oh, we want to sing from the heart. Are you joining in with so many in heaven? We can look around at just a few, but then look up to the billions in heaven. Are you joining in? Are you praising him? He's receiving the praise there in heaven. And he's receiving your praise here on earth. He's receiving the praise in heaven and upon earth. He's there Worthy is the Lamb. Secondly, he's there in heaven and he's reigning. The king came in, as we see in verse 7 and verse 9. The call, the king will come in, and he came in. Psalm 110, sit thou at my right hand. He came in and he sat on the throne. Hebrews 1 verse 3, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He's there on the throne. He's reigning. As God, he reigns over all. As mediator, he reigns over the church. He's on the throne. He's the builder of his church. And so he's receiving sinners. Let me ask you, has the king who reigns in heaven received you? Dear young ones, has he received you? Or of the Father giver shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. If you go to him by way of faith, he will receive and then never turn you away. He's a gracious king who reigns. He doesn't turn away his subjects. Though they fail him, he will not turn them away. He reigns, he receives sinners. He deals with his enemies. What a blessing to be a friend of Jesus when we consider he deals with his enemies. And when we think of the reign of Christ and how he deals with his enemies, do not we pity the unconverted in this area, and we long for them to be converted. For what shall the end be of the enemies of Christ? They are the enemies of the gospel. Paul wept over that. Well, he's dealing with his enemies. And let's remember that. What we're seeing in this country, we're seeing a great downgrade. Many are against Christ. We've seen marriage redefined by men. The Lord has not forgotten. We see his day despised, the royal day of the week despised. The Lord has not forgotten. He is reigning, and he will deal. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish in the way. He is reigning. Let's take comfort. He's reigning. He will build his church. He will defend his people. He will deal with his enemies. And as we think of Christ, he's in heaven. He's defending us. And as a people here in this place, we are defended by the glorious King. He is the King of the army. He defends us. The Lord's people in this nation have a king who reigns, and he is defending. Thirdly, he's making intercession. Hebrews 9 verse 24. And we must draw to a close. Time has gone on. For Christ is not entered into the holy place without hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. And as you think of the ascension of the King of Glory, he went there, dear child of God, for you. He was so praised as he entered heaven. As he entered heaven, he had you in his heart. And he's there for you. He's making intercession. Think of this week and live in the light of the intercession of Christ. When difficulties come your way, when sorrows fill your soul, think of Jesus, the King of Glory, who is making intercession. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's there. He's making intercession. He's in heaven for us now to appear in the presence of God for us. How amazing that is. God is being reminded about you. And as he's being reminded about you, he's being reminded about the precious blood of Jesus that covers you. He's making intercession. He's pleading that the blessings he purchased with his blood be bestowed upon you. He pleads that you be kept and helped on your journey to glory. And that leads us to consider fourthly and finally, as we think of the King in heaven, he's receiving his people home. He's gone on before to prepare a place for you. Remember that lovely vision, that wonderful vision Stephen was given of seeing the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. It was there to encourage him, but also to show to him that he would be received in by the King when he left this world. And there the Lord, the King, stands. We think of standing for the King. But when we get to heaven, Jesus will be standing for you. It's ready, come in. At death, the believer will see the King of glory. And they will be touched by his face. They'll be moved by his welcome. Christ is the end of the journey. The King stands at the end for the people of God. What would it be for you? Will Jesus, the King of glory, be standing at the end of your journey? And when you get there, you'll rejoice in salvation. They were rejoicing in salvation, which Christ accomplished when he was entering heaven. You will be rejoicing in that salvation. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? It's the Lord, but it is me, says the child of God. And I will see the King of glory. Dear congregation, I am on my way to seeing the King. I'm going to dine with the King of Jesus in glory. And how glorious that will be. I trust I see everyone in heaven dining with the King. If there's anyone without Christ, oh, that you would bow your knee to the King, that you would know what it is to dine with him now. And then to follow him to heaven. Go home with this question in your heart. Are you going to follow the King of glory to heaven? Amen. We turn to our final praise, Psalm number 89. Psalm number 89, we're going to sing from verse 14 to verse 19.